जय राधा माधव जय कुंज गोपी जन बल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन यशोधनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोधनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गौरनिताय की श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की शिल प्रभुपाद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 13 That I don't think that's the it's text 13, yeah? Yeah, it's the next verse. Yeah. Sarvete nimishai rakshai. Oh, it's text 13. See, 11 and 12 was together, and then text 13. That was the verse that I was told to elaborate on. Sarvete nimishai rakshais Tamanu druta chetasaha Vikshanta sneha sambara Vichelustatra tatraha Devotees, gentlemen. Sarvete nimisharakshai Vishanta sneha sambadha Vichelu tatra tatraha Sarvete nimisharakshai ಕೃತಚೇತಸಃ ವಿಕ್ಷಂತಸ್ನೇಹಸಂಬಾಧಾ ವಿಚಲುಸ್ತತ್ರ ತತ್ರಃ ಸರ್ವೇತೇನಾಶರಕ್ಷಯೇ ತಾಮನುದೃತಚೇತಸಃ ವಿಕ್ಷಂತಸ್ನೇಹಸಂಬಾಧಾ ವಿಚಲು ಸತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಸರ್ವೇತೇ ನಿಮಿಷೈರಕ್ಷೈ ತಮನುದೃತಚೇತಸಃ ವಿಕ್ಷಂತಸ್ನೇಹಸಂಬಾಧಾ ವಿಚಲು ಸತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಸಮಾನುದ್ರುತಚೇತಸಃ ವಿಕ್ಷಂತಸ್ನೇಹಸಂಬಾಧಾ ವಿಚಲು ಸತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಸರ್ವೇತೇ ನಿಮಿಷೈರಕ್ಷೈ ತಮನುದ್ರುತಚೇತಸಃ ವಿಕ್ಷಂತಸ್ನೇಹಸಂಬಾಧಾ ವಿಚಲು ತತ್ರ ತತ್ರ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because He is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. He alone is the maintainer of the many eternals. This is stated in the Katha Upanishad, and thus one can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relation with Him, now forgotten under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with His name, fame, form, and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jinanjanashalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಶ್ಚತ್ಯಾದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶಿವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ವಂಚಕಲ್ಪಾತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುರೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. The battle of Kurukshetra just finished, and Bhishma Dev laid in the bed of arrows and also left this mortal world. And King Yudhishthira, with the guidance of Bhishma Dev and the support of his younger brothers, he is now ruling the kingdom, which he's ruling very expertly. He's ruling the kingdom in the way that all kings and all leaders should rule, which is having Krishna in the center. And Krishna is actually present in Hastinapur during this transitional period of Yudhishthira taking the throne. And Krishna spent a few months there in Hastinapur, but now it's time for him to go back to Dwarka. And this verse, it is explaining some of the symptoms and reactions of the inhabitants of Hastinapur, what they're experiencing, what they're going through with Krishna's departure, going to Dwarka. They're so fortunate to be able to associate directly with Krishna. And they have this special mercy. And we can see here that the reaction that they're having is also special. It is unique. It is something that maybe we don't see in our everyday lives so often. So some of the symptoms or some of their reaction, for example, druta chetasaha, melted heart. Well, what is a melted heart? So poetic. I mean, I was thinking, have I experienced my heart being melted? And you know, there's some memories, some thoughts come. But even if, you know, if we try to do so in a spiritual way by seeing the beautiful decorations of Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram, sometimes if you're lucky, or if we're lucky, we get a feeling of swelling in the heart. Or maybe a parent who sees their child and their heart is, so to say, melting. And it's saying they're melting for him on the pot of attraction. Well, Krishna, as we know, means all attractive. And as mentioned, he is personally associating with these inhabitants of Hastinapur. So they are completely overwhelmed with love, overwhelmed with these feelings. As Druta Chetas have, with a melted heart. And if you're just reading along, actually, it seems that, because in the next verse, it mentions, I won't give away too much, but it mentions the female relatives, you know, who their eyes were flooded with tears, and they were trying to hold their tears because they didn't, they thought maybe crying while Krishna was leaving wasn't such a good omen or so auspicious. But actually, whose heart was melted? Sarve, all the hearts were melted. And two verses prior, we see that even great warriors, as Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimasena, Dhaumya, who is there, Dhritarashtra, that they're all fainting. They're practically dying out of this separation or the idea of separation to Krishna. I mean, it's quite astonishing because, you know, Krishna here is a guest and he's leaving, and their reaction is that they're fainting. Their heart is melting. You know, nowadays, maybe, I don't know, I can't say generally, but if you have a guest for a few months, you know, a few months passes by and then you'll start counting the days maybe when it's time for them to to move on. You know? But it's the opposite. Krishna's been there for months, and now he's leaving, and there's this beautiful reciprocation that has been recorded and that we're able to experience through Bhagavatam. And some other reactions. Animishai was without twinkling of the eyes. That they're just wanting to drink the nectar of Krishna's beauty. They just want to not even blink their eyes for a second and just continuously have their eyes drink the nectar of his beauty. This is a very advanced symptom to have. We also hear pastimes of the Vrijvasis, like when Balaram, when he came back to Vrindavan alone, not with Krishna, but when he's updating all the inhabitants of Krishna's pastimes, the explanation is like that, that they were all sitting, pin drop silence, and their eyes not blinking for a moment, just hearing and seeing the beautiful form of Balaram and being completely absorbed. So these inhabitants of a Hastinapur were completely absorbed. Or there's like that famous verse where the gopis, they condemn the creator, Brahma, for creating eyelids because it stops them from seeing the Lord for a fraction of a second. I'll read the verse here. It's a beautiful, directly from the gopis' mouths. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with this adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. And also, tatra tatra, here and there. Right, they were moving about hither and thither in perplexity. And I actually like how Srila Prabhupada puts it. He says, loitering around, and he gives a lecture, and he says, these Pandavas were so purified by association of Krishna, so they were thinking, how shall we live? If Krishna goes away to Dwarka, then how can we live? In this way, they could not make any solution. They were loitering here and there. Just like when you are disturbed in mind, you loiter, what to do, what to do, what to do. So they were doing that. And actually, that's exactly when Krishna ended up leaving. That's exactly what they were doing. They were loitering around what to do, but what were they thinking? They were thinking how to bring Krishna back. It's not this like passive relationship that it just shows the importance of eagerness, that even if it may be difficult to be able to get what you want, there is an eager attempt out of love. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni and Hanuman, they're having a beautiful conversation, and Hanuman convinces Narada Muni that he isn't a great devotee, and actually the devotees that he should go see are in Hastinapur, the Pandavas. So Narada Muni takes Hanuman's leave, and he arrives in Hastinapur. And here's a beautiful description of what they were doing, because Krishna recently just left and Narada Muni arrived. When Narada arrived dancing at the palace gate, The doorkeepers immediately informed kind Yudhisthira. The king and his family at once stood up to greet Narada, even though they had been busy deliberating on how to induce Krishna to come to Hastinapur. One idea had been to send Bhima or someone else to invite Krishna to an Ashwamedha sacrifice, but the assembly thought this wouldn't make Krishna come soon enough, because sacrifices take a long time to arrange. A second proposal was to ask Krishna to help defend Hastinapur from enemy attack. Even though there was no need for another sacrifice and no threat of attack on the city, the Pandavas were scheming to get Krishna's association by whatever means. In general, the Supreme Lord's devotees encountered two kinds of danger. One created by the Lord to proclaim his devotees' glories, and the other simulated by the Lord's devotees when they are intensely anxious to see him. So we can see and we can learn from these great devotees that even though they have the mercy of being able to associate directly with Krishna, when he leaves, they're thrown into pangs of separation. But not only that, then they're meditating how to bring him back. How to bring him back. And so, of course, you know, reading the way these exalted personalities are acting in relation to Krishna, sometimes we may think, well, you know, they're great devotees, but who am I? I'm a rascal. I'm attached to worldly things. I can't control my senses. I'll never get there. But see, Srila Prabhupada, he's giving us hope in this purport. Srila Prabhupada, he's letting us know that, of course, it's difficult to feel that when we're covered. But when there's a slight, how does he say it? Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed and then becomes mad after the association of the Lord, like the Pandavas. Loitering around the inhabitants of Hastinapur, what to do, how can we find Krishna, how can we see Krishna? So how is this association made possible? Srila Prabhupada tells us, not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by the association with his name, fame, form, and quality. So how do we get that association also? That is through our endeavor, through the mercy of Krishna as well. As we know, he tells Brahma, Yavana ham yata bhavo yat rupa guna karma kaha tataiva tatva vijnana mastute mal anugrahat. He tells him, right, Yavana ham yata bhavo yat rupa, my form, my qualities, my activities, everything, let this be known to you. Anugraha, through my mercy. But also through the mercy of Krishna's devotees, because Krishna's acting through his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, he's telling us here that the Srimad Bhagavatam, it trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. And in unveiling his lotus feet, I like the way Burijan Prabhu, in a very short paragraph, how he explains this point. He says, thus, the Bhagavatam helps one remember him, Krishna, whom one has forgotten. It awakens in one a longing, as well as teaches on the method to reestablish his relationship with God. When love for Krishna blossoms in one's heart, a moment apart from him will seem an eternity. And that is what these great devotees are feeling, because they are developing and cultivating their bhava, their attachment for Krishna. The thought of Krishna leaving is putting them in a very ecstatic situation. Yugayitam nimeshena, right? That even a moment can feel like 12 years or more. We were talking with Prangovinda Prabhu. Yugayitam nimeshena. Because I was asking, why is it 12? Because yuga, right? Like a moment can feel like a yuga. So it can be like thousands of years. But there's also an explanation he was saying of why specifically 12. But maybe he can elaborate on that. Or we know, or we hear of this pastime in the Chaitanya Mangala that is being narrated by Murari Gupta to Damodar Pandit, and that is being told to us by Lochan Das Thakur, of when Krishna, he visits Dwarka, and when he goes to visit Rukmini, Rukmini is, of course, always waiting for Krishna, but when she gets news of his arrival, she becomes so ecstatic, she becomes so anxious to see him, that even though that her palace and her quarters are already clean and she has assistants to clean, she starts wanting to even clean it more and herself. She wants to clean herself so when Krishna comes, he comes to a very pleasant place. And when he's arriving, there's music playing and she receives him as he should be received with puja and starts washing Krishna's lotus feet. And she is so happy and so smiling, but then all of a sudden, what happens? Rukmini starts crying and tears start flowing from her eyes. And Krishna is perplexed. He gets such a warm welcome from his beloved queen. And then he arrives, and instead of being happy, her happiness turns to sorrow. Her smile turns to tears. So he asks her, you know, is there anything that I did? Was it when I was joking with you last time, did I offend you? What have I done? And so here Rukmini begins to teach Krishna something that he doesn't know. Rukmini tells Krishna that really, you will only be able to understand if you can understand the heart of Srimati Radharani, of this Radha Bhav. You don't understand the love that the devotees have for you. So she starts, she makes this comment, and Krishna becomes amused of hearing something that he doesn't know. He's all-knowing. So, and then he asks her to continue, and then she continues on explaining to him the love of the devotees and how he doesn't understand. And it's interesting, in this pastime at that time, Narada Muni, he comes to visit. And when Narada Muni comes, he's seeing this conversation, he sees the end of this conversation happening. But before he came, he was already meditating and a little bit anxious and perplexed, because he was seeing the effects of Kali Yuga. He was seeing how so many people were covered, that he felt that there was no hope, that the people in Kali Yuga will remain irreligious, that there's no way that they will be saved from material desires, and that they will always be chasing material desires, and no way that Krishna will be put in the center. So Narada Muni, Krishna, he receives Narada Muni, and he gives him the proper reception. But and then he notices that there is some type of disturbance in the mind of Narada Muni, and he says, you know, this may be an inauspicious day. I come and my wife, she's sorrowful. My guru's disturbed, perplexed. Please explain to me. Well, first, the reason I was mentioning this pastime is because Rukmini, one thing I forgot to mention is that when she's explaining to Krishna, she's telling him, just seeing you come, seeing you arrive, I already know that you're going to have to leave. And the separation starts with the union. The union is beginning, and the separation is already starting. This is the heart of the great devotees, that they love Krishna so much. Rukmini loves Krishna so much that even seeing him, she knows one day or a certain time he will have to leave. And that creates these feelings of separation, of love, that increase within the heart. Well, since we started the pastime, might as well finish it, because the ending is the cream of the crop. So Krishna tells Narada Muni, he says, you know, Rukmini was also telling me this, and now, you know, your disturbance and your worry, but do not worry. And then he starts to explain, and Krishna actually gets so absorbed in his leela and his future, he starts to explain to Narada Muni that he will come in Kali Yuga. He will arrive in Navadvip. He will be the son of Sachimata. And then Krishna starts to explain his form of Gauranga to Narada Muni. That he will be tall, golden complexion, beautiful long arms. And while describing the form of Gauranga, while being so absorbed in the form of Gauranga, Lord Krishna unexpectedly manifests the Gauranga form and gives darshan to Narada Muni. And Rukmini is also seeing. And by seeing this form, Narada Muni immediately faints. And after he awakes, Krishna tells him a little bit more about his purpose of Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. And then he gives him permission, okay, go tell everyone. So then Narada Muni goes on his traveling to the different planets, in spiritual worlds, in Kailash, and he starts telling them, Gauranga's coming. And that everyone has to come to Kali Yuga at this specific time to partake in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was thinking, when I was reading this pastime, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Harinam Sankirtan, what he's given us, is the culmination of all scriptures. Because as the Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of the Lord. At some times it's present, at some times it's not. But we are so fortunate that it has appeared again during this time. And we have the Srimad Bhagavatam thanks to Srila Prabhupada. And it will be with us for the next 10,000 years during the Golden Age. But why did it come now during this Kali Yuga, at this specific time, when the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam, it 100% supports the mood of Kirtan and also the understanding of Kirtan. In order to be able to share this Yuga Dharma, it is very important for us to associate with the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Srila Prabhupada ends the purport, he says, the Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. So if we make an effort, one time I was conversing with Dayendra Prabhu, and I didn't, scripturally check what he told me, but it always stayed in my mind. He was saying that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimati Radharani's mercy. So he was really encouraging me to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, you want Srimati Radharani's mercy? You have to read the Bhagavatam. And he was preaching the importance of sharing kirtan, but intertwined with a deep understanding of Bhagavatam. Because then your chanting has more depth, more meaning, more power. Because it's coming from a place, a deeper place, a place of knowledge. But knowledge of what? Knowledge of removing this veil of illusion so we can be a transparent via medium. So we can remove our false ego from getting in the way. And we can purely chant Shuddhanam. We can purely chant the names and purely share the names. If we don't have the means to purify our heart, to be able to receive Shuddhanam, then there is some, of course, a some effect. There is, because the holy name is all powerful. But it shines brighter if the recipient, if the devotee, is able to chant Shuddhanam. Of course, getting there is a process, but that's why we submissively hear from the pure devotee and we associate. So I wanted to actually, since this verse is about hearts melting in the pot of attraction, of being attracted to Krishna. You know, maybe it's easier for them, or in the sense that they have Krishna with them. We have been passed down this knowledge. We're able to associate with devotees who are probably experiencing Krishna consciousness and on a deeper level. But it is important for us also to gather and to cultivate these experiences in Krishna consciousness, understand why are we attracted to this, to ISKCON, or to this society, to this Krishna conscious movement? Why are we attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to Srila Prabhupada's mission? So I actually wanted to bring the next portion of today's lecture to the floor where we can hear different devotees' realizations, or maybe just answering the simple question of what is it that attracts you to Krishna? So is there a microphone available? And then we can have a little reflective meditation. Anybody would like to start? Madhumati, I think you can start.
Before I respond to your question, I was thinking, sitting down and hearing your realizations, such deep and sweet realizations. You have grown up in Krishna consciousness, and I had a request that please request, there's so many young second generation devotees who actually have taken initiation and practicing very seriously. It'd be very nice if you could encourage them to also have them come and speak the Bhagavatam.
I've actually requested a few friends, and I think they're coming along. They'll come soon.
Okay. Well,
I'll continue to, and also, I'll invite the senior devotees to invite them personally. Maybe they'll feel more obliged. Mm-hmm. 'Cause for me, I tell them, and for me,
Okay. Well, thank you for.
But I will also help.
I guess there's so many aspects of Krishna. He's so multifaceted, and there's so much that is attractive of Krishna. But if I pin it down, it's hard to pin it down, but I just think his devotees are so attractive. And I think it is, for me, it's his devotees. And you're surrounded with his devotees, everything else comes around of Krishna. So for me, it's Krishna's devotees, yeah. Because Krishna's devotees bring the holy name, they bring the pastimes, they bring everything. If I had to practice Krishna consciousness, like chanting Hare Krishna on my own, or reading the Bhagavatam on my own, or sitting down taking prasad on my own, I have to be honest, I wouldn't find Krishna so attractive. But when I'm around with his devotees, then, so yeah, for me it's his devotees.
Wow, beautiful realization. And there's so many wonderful devotees in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narada Muni is going through the whole finding the devotees, and of course there's the peers, our seniors here, and then there's, actually in Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of a purport, he says, he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. So I was thinking, okay, the eternals, as there's, of course, Krishna's expansions, his avatars, and then there's the devotees that are eternally with him. Of course, we're all eternal, but they're consciously eternal in their sarup, in their relationship with Krishna. And these are amazing souls who are eternally with Krishna. But then Krishna, of course, Prabhupada is establishing Krishna's position that he alone is the maintainer of the many eternals, as he says. So it's wonderful how that there's, I guess you could say, so many different types of devotees and different categories in this world, in other worlds, in other planets, in the spiritual worlds, and we get glimpses of them throughout the Bhagavatam, and that's why it's such an amazing literature, because we see from different yugas, we see from different lokas. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, we were just reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it was interesting to understand the aspect that there's a variety of devotees, like you were saying, in all different planets. And in Vaikuntha, Gopa Kumara is there, and he, like some Vaikuntha Vasi is saying, what are you chanting, O Krishna, Gopal? We don't chant like that. This is just not right, you know. Chant the mantras that we chant here, proper mantras, you know, do it properly. Then the other Vaikunthavasi says, no, it's totally fine for him to chant like this because it's all the same, you know. And so you see that even in Vaikuntha, like such variety of devotees there are. And so, yeah, you see a lot of variety of devotees around here, a lot of variety of devotees over there, everywhere. But devotees are all sweet.
Yeah. If you'd like to share, yeah, it's...
Actually, I was going to say devotees also. That's the thing, when you asked that question, the thing I was thinking, I was like, I think what attracts me the most is Krishna's devotees. And it's just the love that you get from the devotees. Just the kindness. And you don't experience that with other people. Like, it's just not there. And the love, the kindness, the support, it's what's most attractive to me.
Yeah. I mean, the fire is beautiful, but with the sparks decorating the fire, it's also beautiful.
I'm sorry for my English. I am... aspiring devotee by Kripa, Prabhupada Kripa. And what bring me to Krishna is Prabhupada, and he catch my heart and my soul. Just there.
Peace. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone would have liked to share some realization?
Hare well. I would say there's so many things, as Madhu Maji said, that attracts Krishna. And for me, at different times in my life, in this life, it's been different things. But as time has gone on, the thing I've realized the most is that we're attracted to Krishna because there's nothing else in the universe to be attracted to. He is the supreme attractive being. He's our ultimate shelter. And when we go back home, when we go back to Krishna, as we obtain more realization in this life, we lose attraction for everything else. Nothing else matters. And as every day goes on and on, more and more I realize nothing is going to give you satisfaction, love, and happiness other than Krishna, and definitely by extension, all his devotees.
Mm. So beautiful.
Devotees have been said, it's the most humble and brilliant way to describe Krishna's beauty because we see it through them. But I think what's most amazing for me, or what reminds me of Krishna all the time, or some of the time, is his brilliance. And so seeing a devotee do something that is like so skillful or so humble or such a quality that just touches your heart, that reminds me of Krishna. And then, I mean, it's just such a beautiful creation when you look at this material world, how it's like two worlds in one, right? There's a spiritual component and there's a material component, and they're both Krishna, but they're working simultaneously. But it's there only for our benefit. It's difficult to comprehend how precise Krishna makes this world and creates an experience for us personally to be reformed. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's like this simplicity in this perplexity. So it's so simple, but there's all of these things going on that maybe we don't comprehend. And we see that Krishna, it's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect arrangement. It's amazing. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, why what attracts you to Krishna? What attracts you to Krishna? Well, say one or more. But we need the mic in your mouth so that the devotees can hear also.
His beauty.
His beauty.
Unlimited. His red ruby necklace. Mm-hmm. And his white pearl necklace. Mm-hmm. And his flute. Mm-hmm. And his red mm-hmm. toenails and fingernails like rubies. And his shark earrings. And can you imagine shark earrings? And I can't think of anything better.
So no, these descriptions of Krishna were which actually was one of my appreciations and my attraction to Krishna is, I mean, how are we getting all these descriptions? We're getting these descriptions through Shastra. So I mean, myself, I mean, I love kirtan. I love to do kirtan with the devotees. But really, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures that we have that allow us to really meditate on a daily basis or get absorbed in this world of Krishna now. It's, you know, the scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam is so attractive. So attractive.
Ask me another question.
Yeah, I think you answered it. I think you answered it.
I wasn't done.
Okay, keep on going.
What else do you love
of Krishna? What attracts you?
Peacock feather. Did you ever look at a peacock feather closely?
Yes.
Like the colors in it? And the shine and the gold and the blue and the green and the black. And it's so, like you actually become hypnotized if you look at a peacock feather. Well, in relation to Krishna, because I know that he made that, or that
and he wears it.
That he wears it on his head, and that the peacock is his dancing guru. So, if you've ever, like, did you ever see in Vrindavan? Did you ever see a peacock spread its feathers?
Mm-hmm.
They spread and shake them. You become hypnotized for a long time. it's mystical.
Thank you. Was Vishnu Das? Was this your name, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Vishnu Das.
What I love about.
What attracts you to Krishna? What is attracting you to?
Well, initially books and reading from Prabhupada, and when visiting the temples, people are so welcoming. There's always an atmosphere of joy. And it doesn't matter what somebody brings in, because so many people are chanting mantra and are have their minds fixed on Krishna, that anything anybody brings in gets pushed out if it's unwholesome, if there's unwholesomeness. And if there is some unwholesomeness which goes in, which finds the way into the temple or the ashram, we hear it, and then we let it go, and then everything's fine again. And we just continue practicing. And so it's kind of nice to think of the ashram or the temple as like there's a presence there which is not expendable, right? There's something like eternal where if we just keep chanting, eventually we'll purify everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so those moments where we have quiet mind or mantra or even silence and can really see the ashram and the peace and the crispness and the beauty are all things I love about Krishna and his gifts to us. And also Krishna is, and Radha are beautiful. And I appreciate when I see Krishna with Radha, I can think, oh, it's like parents. And so I appreciate that aspect. And when I see Krishna alone, then I think, oh, okay, he's like my older brother. I have an older brother, but
yeah.
So.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anyone would like to share? Prangovinda Prabhu? No, I said I mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam, the scriptures.
I was thinking about how to put it into words. Because the moment I went to Mayapur, early age, I was a teenager, young boy. I ran away from my home. And the attraction was that the neighbor explained about the atmosphere of the devotees. I had no idea about that time, ISKCON or Krishna consciousness. Just the devotee chanting, dancing, peaceful, very, alternative sense gratification at that time in my, now I reflect and examine, was much better than where I was with my brother. So, obviously that was the first key point that I went there. Then sometime, in our life we see there are some people make things happen, some people watches things happen, some people wonder what happened. I mean, that's happened in my life, like I was reflecting in different parts. I wanted to enjoy life and I wanted to have it like a complete, and I found that when I reflect many pastimes of Prabhupada, and those are very catchy, like it never leaves me. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada says, what you are attracted to Jayanta Prabhu? He said, I like women and flower. I could relate that. And he said, try to see the source of that attraction and then you'll come to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And I deeply think all those attractions that I had, and I found that actually this has a completeness in Krishna. So I have to try my best to come to him with that. But then as I am progressing by the association of devotees, by the mercy of the sadhan bhakti, I would say, main, that I find that actually chanting and pleasing Prabhupada and Krishna actually automatically satisfy me. So I want to go in a full speed to just, now my attraction is for that. Mm. That some or other get the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna.
There you go.
And that attraction, I deeply like one in any way. I hopefully never give up. But I also have a fear Krishna can put illusion in, I may forget. So I pray also for that please, my Lord.
We also pray that you continue to be fully absorbed as you've been. Well, that I hope that we may have our hearts melting on the pot of attraction, that we can look at Krishna without blinking eyes, and that we can move hither and thither in perplexity in Krishna consciousness. Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada, the key.
Also the food.
Yeah, the prasadam. How did we leave that one out?